Hello and welcome back to the Chronica Man podcast. It's Josh, your host. And today we have a pretty big episode talking to one of the legends at Games Workshop, and especially in White Dwarf. As most of you fondly remember, the Grand Warlord, Adrian Wood. And Adrian was part of the White Dwarf team for at least 5 years. And he was the face behind playing the orcs in Epic Space Marine, or I think Epic 40K Space Marine when it went into its third edition, and second edition 40K and third edition 40K. So he was kind of given the role as being the orc warlord. And you saw a lot of those comical looking pictures in White Dwarf of him giving those sort of orcish looking expressions and that kind of thing, having a lot of fun with the guys playing out and delivering all these fantastic narrative battle reports in White Dwarf magazine during the early to probably late 90s. So I hope you really enjoy our conversation today. In fact, Adrian, and I want to extend my thanks to him again, was so generous with his time that we spoke for, I think, almost 3 hours. And so what I did after the conversation, I said to Adrian, look, I'm going to have to take out some of that and put it into a different podcast altogether, and just take out all the kind of, you know, as you got into Games Workshop and more hobby-centric related information, all the other stuff I will put into a Patreon-exclusive audio clip that people can access if you're a patron, as a way to thank them for their patronage. So Adrian was fine with that. So today is still a pretty, you know, jam-packed interview, and I really enjoyed my time talking to Adrian about his very extensive time at Games Workshop that spanned about 25 years, so which I didn't know about, and certain areas and facets about his time at, within the, you know, the Games Workshop umbrella, as it were, and different divisions that he worked in. I didn't even know about that. So very interesting conversation I had with him, and I hope you enjoy that today. In other news related to the YouTube channel, I did upload a couple of videos in quick succession. One was with our terrain tutor, Melbos, with his Terrain Essentials book, which is a wonderful tome of information. And Mel and Dave were very kind in sending me a PDF, and I said, let's put this on the YouTube channel. Let's give it a review so that people can see exactly what's in it if they've never seen what's the contents of the book, so that you get a better idea of what to expect and you hear from Mel directly about the processes and ideas and thoughts behind what he wanted to contain within the book, so that if you're thinking about or on the fence about getting the book, you have a better idea on how to get it. And that way, every book that's sold, it's sort of kicking back a few dollars to Mel to help him out, which is great. So, yeah, I was really glad we could collaborate on that. And I think next week we're going to go through his first White Dwarf magazine together, which would be really nice as well. So keep your eyes peeled on what's happening on the YouTube channel if you can. Also, as of yesterday, about 8 hours ago, I had a wonderful opportunity to talk with Matthew Bickley and Mark Farr from Footsaw Miniatures. Well, Mark is in partnership with Andy Hobday at Footsaw, and they have produced some wonderful games like Mortal Gods, Gangs of Rome, The Baron's War, of course, and they do a range of sort of Dark Age miniatures for Saga, and they have their own rule set, Conquest, set in. So I believe it's based on the Baron's War type of rules. So that was a really interesting conversation. I didn't know that Mark had been working for Games Workshop for a very long time as well. And Matt seems like they're both very, very nice guys to talk to, very open and very friendly and conversational. So I would like to get them back onto the podcast in the future so that we can sort of delve a bit more deeper into, their hobby history. I'd really be interested to see what they have to say. So that's really it, guys, is a roundup of things that have been happening in the background here at the Crown of Command. I hope you have been busy this week doing your own hobby and listening to the podcast or other podcasts, like Bedroom Battlefields, for example, or the Forces of Fantasy, some another couple of great names out there in the podcasting world that if you don't know about them, please go and check them out and check out their content because they do both great stuff, Matthew and GJ. And until then, guys, let's get on with the show. Enjoy the conversation.
By the way, have we started?
We've started.
Oh, okay, well, that's good. It's all right. We're just that's brilliant.
That's
Basically,
great.
you'll now record and then you'll snip out stuff that's nonsense, like me going, "Oh, have we started?" and things like that. That's great.
I like
Well,
that.
that's good.
That's good.
Oh, brilliant. Well, that puts me very much. I'm thinking, yeah, we're giving all the stuff away here, and it's all like you can keep this in, by the way. I don't
That's
mind.
fine. It doesn't matter.
It's
It's
sort of, you know,
very much
it's in.
this informal,
It's
just a generic, sort of a spontaneous conversation. It's nothing.
well, exactly. Well, this is it. How it should be, you know.
Yeah,
It's
exactly.
good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll give you a bit of a potted history, because as with most people, everything that you do interacts with everything else that you do,
Yeah.
and it's so. I was. How I got, funnily enough, how I got into this stuff was kind of similar to you, in that I was aware of the Hobbit book. I was also very aware of Conan the Barbarian,
All right.
and I was aware of Conan through the Marvel comics, and the because I my dad brought home some of these Conan Marvel comics, and it was like, wow, this is amazing. This guy who's like, looked incredible, and was fighting all these crazy monsters, and it was like in this kind of strange world, a kind of past world, and all this kind of stuff. I loved it. And then I heard about The Hobbit, because we started to read a bit of it at school, and thought, yeah, get hold of a copy of The Hobbit and start to read that. Didn't get very far into it, though, because I got distracted by other things. And I was always very interested in, I was reading like 2000 AD when it first came out, and I loved that and thought that was fantastic. And Star Wars, and I was very interested in horror movies, and like from a very young age, my mum bought me a book called Pictorial History of Horror Movies, back when I was about 7 years old. And I don't know why she bought it me. She just bought it me. And that kind of started me on a road towards science fiction and fantasy and horror and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, getting back to the chronology. So I had The Hobbit, and I started to read a bit of The Hobbit, and then I got a record, which was a chap narrating the story with, and it's marvelous. I think it was like a five record set. I think you can find it on YouTube somewhere, where he took you through the whole story and did the voices and everything. And you know, it's when I first heard him talk about the Battle of Five Armies. And I was going, oh yeah, I've heard the Battle of Five Armies, and now he's talking about it, and I love the whole thing. And at the end of it, I thought, oh, this is marvelous. This is. I was also aware at the time of role playing on of Dungeons and Dragons, and I heard of Dungeons and Dragons. I thought, well, this looks great. So I got hold of a copy of the original, which I still got, the original Dungeons and Dragons rule set in the blue covered. Kind of the blue coloured book. And the only thing is no one I knew was interested in doing anything like that. You know, it was like, you know, all they wanted to do was play football, and you know, and I didn't have many friends, to be perfectly frank. Just one of those things. And well, certainly not who were interested in doing anything like that. So I thought, oh well, I've got this now, but this is all cool. So let's fast forward a bit. I went to art college and to learn to be learn graphic design, study graphic design. So I actually understand point sizes and leading and how you lay a page out and how you design. And I, you know, sort of actually went into did a lot of that. The reason I say that, by the way, is because these days I do a lot of putting together. I put together posters for my wife because she's a singer, and we both go out and we both go out and perform and stuff. And I often see other people do posters for to advertise them as solo singers and stuff. And I'm sitting there with my head in my hands, just going, "This just looks awful." And I'll offer to do them posters and stuff, and it's like, and they don't want to spend any money on advertising, which I just think is insane. And I kind of think, but you don't understand how you lay one of these things out. I'm thinking to myself, if you took that image and you've just did this with it, or if you just made the text a bit better, and if you chose this kind of, it would actually look so much better. And but they don't want to spend the money. So in the end, I just do my graphic design really is just done for myself and for Jules now. And so we, it's just one of those things. But like I said, back in the day, I went to art college. It mixed feelings about art college. Learned a lot of stuff, but nowhere near the experience I thought it was going to be. After that, I worked in a school for a while, and then I worked at Lady Bird Books. Heard of Lady Bird?
I've heard of them, yeah. It's like a really old label, really old publisher label.
Well, Lady Bird were, yeah, very much so. Lady Bird were a company that were based in Loughborough, and they were printers, but by a happy chance, they'd gotten into printing children's books. And it's what they were most famous for were these amazing children's reading books, these little hardback books. And I've got, back at my mum's house, I've got loads of them, and I had loads more of these books. And I've got some in the house with me now, beloved books. My mum had a family friend who actually worked at Lady Bird, who I then went to work with, because I got this job at Lady Bird Books in the advertising department. And I have to say, I learned more in my first month of being at Lady Bird than I learned in the whole time I was at art college. I mean, incredible difference between the, what you go to art college, think you're going to really learn how to do how about graphic design and about topography and illustration and all these things. And actually, when you come out of it, you've only really got a diploma, and that's it. That's all you and a nice portfolio that might get you a job working with, pretty much is what happened with me. Might finally get you a job working in a decent company. Did that for 3 years. Great experience. Had probably generally the guy who was considered the best boss in the company, guy's called John Scott. Awesome bloke. I lost touch with him many eons ago. But he's a wonderful bloke, great guy. And it was great working for him. He used to call me his lackey, which I found I quite enjoyed that. And I think he realized very quickly that I enjoyed that kind of humor. So, which was quite cool. And but then was then the company was then broken apart, and like just kind of like just everyone was made redundant. And they kept a bit of the original art team, and then they moved everything down to London. And I mean, it still exists as an imprint, but it's not certainly not the company that it was. I went and worked for the UCCF, which is a company that who were the Universities and Colleges Christian Fellowship, and it was they basically did, and that was working in their graphic design department. And I went and did that for 9 months, and then got made redundant from there because they ended up in trouble. It was just one of those kind of periods in time. And just then, I kind of saw, because while all this had been going on, I'd got married and then divorced very quickly. I was nasty. But the brother of the woman I married, a guy called Chris, who, was an amazing mate, we both got into playing Warhammer Quest round at a friend's house. And so I and so and that was a great experience. I kind of went and we go around there and play Warhammer, and it was crazy because the guys who I were gaming with, they're meant to be like lawful good characters, but they were the most reprehensible kind of cutthroat band of miscreants you could ever possibly meet. Behaved awfully, and they're meant to be lawful good characters. I think, and I'm thinking, this is really funny. This is kind of, because eventually we moved on to Advanced Hero Quest, because of course that gave you more options for more madness. I mean, not that I knew any of that, because I was too busy like being the character I was. I can't even remember what character it was actually, but after a while, I was getting a bit fed up with how they were behaving and the stuff that they were doing, and I thought, let's start to push the envelope here a bit. Let's try and see what craziness we can with. So we ended up in this evil wizard's room, like you do when you go on one of these quests. You end up in the room, and there's a zombie over there, and this, that, and the other, and there are these, and got Chris was the dungeon master, and said, "Describe the room." Okay. And then he said, "There are rows of vials of liquid along with it." Oh, really? Okay. So I hopped straight over to one of these vials of liquid and drank it.
As you do.
As you do. Because I thought, let's see what happens. Come just let's see what happens. And he said, "Well, that's interesting, because you've just turned into a skaven." So my character was
Brilliant.
trans my trans was transformed into Skaven, an actually legitimately evil character.
Cool.
I thought it was a great, great, now I can have some real fun with this. Because if this lot are behaving, what's it going to be like with an actual legitimately evil character amongst you? I mean, I couldn't compete with them because they were that bad. I mean, it really was. I was more like I was the good guy compared to them. It was quite funny, but so and I got myself a Skaven miniature, a guy with a warplock pistol. I haven't got him still, unfortunately. I wish I had him still. But he was, and I loved it. He was just, it was great having just being different and being something a bit off the walls, I mean, not human and all this kind of thing. I seemed, really enjoyed it. But then things changed, and the night that they did their gaming on was a night that I couldn't do anymore. So I said to Chris, I really enjoy gaming with you and all this kind of thing. We've got to kind of find something else to do. Because I want to carry on with this gaming, like we just have to do it on a different night. So yeah, that's a great idea. Let's go over to Leicester. To there was a yeah, there was a I don't know if it a it was a particular shop in Leicester that was selling fantasy stuff, and we knew that we knew the gaming stuff, and we knew that they stopped like Warhammer Quest and things like that. So we went over there and had a look, and we were presented with a choice between two games. One of them was Blood Bowl, and the other one was Space Hulk. And so we went, oh, okay, well, let's we could say, well, we could do Blood Bowl. Blood Bowl looks interesting. Space Hulk looks really interesting. So we bought a copy of that. I mean, it was like 30 quid or something like that, and we bought it. Bought it, took it home. Didn't quite understand what we got. I mean, it said 3D role playing game on the side, which was which was when they were putting that on the covers of their games, just to try and sell it to the role playing people, really, as which is well done. That ploy worked, you know. And so we took the game home, got it open, realized actually this is much more of a tactical board game. We're quite happy with that, and started playing. And that's really when where things really started to take off. Just having a quick review in my mind, I don't think I've missed anything out arriving at this point. Okay, so we played Space Hulk for a good while and loved it. And immediately it was like, yeah, can we get some orcs to go in here? And can we really like the orc models? Let's get some orcs in. What about Imperial Guard? And what about, you know? And it wasn't long before we had dreadnoughts stomping around in there and all sorts of stuff. I mean, in some respects, we if we'd have gotten, I think it was a matter of what we got for, if we'd have gotten Space Crusade, that would have scratched a lot of those, you know,
That's true.
those itches for us in a lot of ways. But as it was, we got Space Hulk first, which in many ways I think is such a good, elegant, sleek set of rules. Just absolutely stand the test of time, and particularly the original rule set where you really did have absolutely like quite a lot of freedom to, you know, make your own stuff up and do your own thing, really, which we really enjoyed. So we probably maybe spent a year doing that. And around the same time, we were kind of saying, well, you know, we've done a lot with this and it's been really great. I remember we got the psychic system, and it was just like, what is this? You needed like a separate brain for all the rules for the psychic system. You could have. Have you ever? If you, I take it you played Space Hulk.
I've played Space Hulk, but I played the first one I played was like third edition.
Ah, okay.
Recently,
Because
second edition. So, yeah.
yeah, because the original release was three. It was the original box, which was Space Hulk itself, which was really the main thing. And then you had Deathwing, which was really a way of getting you to buy metal miniatures with the assault cannons and the chain fists and all this kind of stuff. And then the last one was Gene Stealer, and Gene Stealer introduced the hybrids and the whole lore of, like, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it also introduced a card-based psychic system, which was incredibly complicated, and in a lot of ways. I mean, looking at it now, actually, I realized at the time, it's like you look back and you kind of think, you know, I read through the rules again recently in the last like year or so, and thought to myself, you should really have read these properly when we actually you started gaming this thing, because, you know, it's like you start to realize that the flexibility of what it, a lot of what you can use cards to counter other cards if they've got a little symbol in the corner and all this weird stuff. But it was quite arcane. It's because it's just nice in a way, because it really suited the character of the game and of the 41st millennium wonderfully. But you did feel a little bit like you were dabbling in sorcery, which is quite nice
Absolutely.
actually. It's quite cool. But after we'd been doing Space Hulk for a while, we kind of went. We were kind of talking about, well, should we start to break out of the Space Hulk and create like a gridded thing on a table, so we can play like games of Space Hulk as if it's a, if it's if it's on the tabletop. That was where we were heading in our minds. I mean, it was almost not aware of Warhammer 40,000 as a game or anything like that. And it was at that time that Space Marine, Epic Space Marine came out. And I said, well, actually, if we want to fight tabletop battles, mass battles, that's what we ought to get. So we kind of went, okay, well, let's, well, why don't we get that then? So toddled over to Leicester, bought a copy of Space Marine, brought it back, started playing that. And absolutely fell in love with it. I mean, I thought Space Hulk was great, and it is great as what it is, as a tabletop board, like an almost adventure board game, if you like. It's so good, the action system and all this kind of thing, amazing. But Epic was just like, I mean, once we got it set up and I painted everything, because Chris was never a painter. Chris was never much of a painter, but I very much became, I loved painting up the miniatures. I loved all of that, and still do. And collecting and, converting and all that kind of stuff. And so, and once we, just standing back sometimes, just looking at our board that we were playing on, and looking at the spread, looking at the layout, the way, and looking at the falcons like flying around that flank, and all this stuff, and the way the battle looked, and being back from it enough that you could like look at this thing, because it's not a film of not a film, it's not a, it's forgot a filmic quality to it. It's not a game of tactics. You don't win a game through tactics. You win a game of epic through strategy. It's very different, which is a very different kind of, where you have to look at like, and particularly when you have to go after objectives and things like that. Have you played Epic?
Mate, I love Epic. I'm so glad it's your favorite game because I absolutely adore
Really, really?
it.
Oh, fabulous. No. Oh, mate, well, everything that I'm talking about. Which edition?
So I entered through second edition. Now I think you're talking about the first edition, like the Horus Heresy set. Was that right?
No, I'm talking about the second edition,
Ah, the blue
with
box.
the second edition with the Space Marines, the Eldar and the Orcs and the Titan.
That's the one. That's the one.
What a
Historians. Yeah,
box.
I know. Yeah.
What a box set is that? Stunning. I mean, you want to immediately start adding stuff to it, and you can, but it's like, oh no, I mean,
Yeah, have a drink, mate. You're right.
grab a quick drink. And the thing is that, as you know, it's again, it's not just about battering the crap out of your enemy.
That's right.
I mean, it is a bit about that, but it's like, but it's about going after these objectives, which would be what would be the real driver for any real battle. And like getting into things like, using your command sections to nip in and nick those objectives at the end of at the end of a game, and making sure you take down all the Titans as soon as you can, and the wave serpents, because Chris played Eldar, and those damn wave serpents. And funnily enough, I really went, oh God, they were so annoying. It's like, it's like my artillery batteries, the foot were good, because I didn't play Orcs in Epic. I didn't play Orcs yet. Orcs actually came much later for me. I was an Imperial Guardsman.
Right, there you go.
I was Imperial Guard, so it was all about like artillery batteries and those massive companies of Imperial Guardsmen. Yeah, I'm gonna, okay, yeah, 30 guys on an objective. Take that away from me. Go on, I dare you. Try it. Try it. Yeah, just try it. So, and all this kind of stuff. And so I was always trying to get those damn wave serpents. First point of, first of both business, where are the wave serpents? Right. every artillery battery, drop everything you have on those waves, because you can't shoot them. Because, of course, if you remember, they can't shoot them at the front. You had to drop an artillery battery barrage on the back of the miniature so you could actually hit it. Crazy. But I was great fun, and we had endless hours because you could you, because these games were enormous. We had endless hours playing with the Titans and all sorts of things. I always found the Chris always commented that I always seemed to get on better with the Warhounds when it came to Titan. The Warhounds seemed to really suit me because they were so mobile, and because for every you could get so many of them, and I always seemed to do very well with those. Whereas the Warlords are great, but they're just kind of one thing all in one place. Whereas the Warhounds could be really good fun. But I loved it absolutely. And to this day, we'll get more onto this later. And to this day, it's still the one thing that really pushes all my buttons when it comes to collecting and war gaming, really. It's absolutely amazing. So it wasn't long before after that we then started to get we then got hold of a copy of Warhammer 40,000 and realized that because we were getting White Dwarf by this stage, realizing that you could actually play battles of with tabletop battles in the same way that you could with Epic. You could play Warhammer 40,000, play a tabletop experience with the model, all the models that we had collected for Space Hulk. So we started to experiment with that, and that was the original kind of edition of that. And they just brought out like Warhammer, the big bot original Warhammer big box game where you actually bought armies. This would have been probably just after Space Marine, second edition. I think they brought out Warhammer, and as a box game, and they were talking about doing Warhammer 40,000 in the same way. So it was like, oh, well, that sounds very good. Now, it was around that time when I was made redundant from UCCF, and I hadn't really enjoyed my time at UCCF very much. So it was only a part-time job anyway, and so I was looking forward to like yeah I was so I've been made redundant. It's like, oh crap, out of a job again. And my girlfriend at the time picked me up because she worked in Leicester as a nurse. She picked me up, and I was kind of saying, oh, I just found out. And I had my White Dwarf magazine in my hand, and there was an advert in there for a what they called a production assistant working on White Dwarf magazine. And I kind of went, and it said, must have a minimum of a year's experience. And I'm thinking to myself, you've got years of it, because I was 28 by this time. I'd been out of art college since I was like 20, maybe. So you're something like that. So I had years of experience. So I was thinking, if I don't go after this job, I'll be out of my mind. I'll be absolutely out of my mind if I don't go for this. So I sent in an application letter, and I got an interview, and I went in. I was interviewed by Robin Dews and Chris Colston, and they interviewed me. Well, actually, was it for it wasn't actually for White Dwarf magazine. It was for a production assistant worked in the it's coming back now, in the deeps of the memory. It was actually for someone to work in the studio, just in the studio on like boxes and books and army books and all that kind of stuff. But Robin was there because he was looking for people for for White Dwarf as well.
Right.
So they sort of gave me the interview, looked through my work, and they said, well, and they said the thing that has, that was said to me when I went for my interview at Lady Bird, which is that you've got all the skills that we need. The one thing they didn't say that we didn't they didn't say at Lady Bird was this. They said, but you're a bit old. The other thing is you're a bit old because we are used to taking people out of straight out of art college who've maybe been in the industry for a year
Right.
and not paying them very much.
Right. Okay. At least they're very open about it. Yeah.
Well, I'm not even sure they quite said it like that, but I
Right.
certainly sat there and thought, so what you're saying is you get people from art college, you pay them a pittance.
Yeah.
And actually, after a while, they actually kind of said, well, we often see working at Games Workshop, and certainly back in 1993, 94 time, that it was very much a case of someone would come in and work at Games Workshop for a few years, get an apprenticeship, get some experience, and then move on.
Right. Okay.
And that was kind of how they saw it, which is how they kind of justified not paying you a lot of money. You're working for an exciting company, all the miniatures and all this,
But
kind of, all this stuff, which didn't actually matter a jot to me.
Yeah.
You know, being as I say, being 28 and being a bit older.
If you are enjoying this podcast and the content on the Crown of Command Games YouTube channel, then please consider supporting me on Patreon. Becoming a Stormboy allows you access to behind-the-scenes news, information on upcoming podcast guests and themes, video battle reports, and occasionally exclusive podcasts with special guests or fellow patrons. And coming soon are painting videos, which we made to give you the skills and tips on painting in the Red Period using modern paints and practical applications. And you can also access one-to-one painting lessons in the Ebby Lead Masterclass tier for a 40-minute personalized painting lesson. So check out patreon.com/ The Crown of Command podcast.
These days, I still collect miniatures. While the pandemic was happening, I collected a ton of epic miniatures.
Oh, cool.
Absolute ton
of.
You see, when I'd originally been collecting,
yeah,
I collected really Space Marines initially, and Chris had Eldar. Didn't touch the Orcs, funnily enough. And then we had the Imperial Guard. And that was probably about it. Those were the main factions that we would collect. Whereas now I'm kind of going, actually, you know what? I want to collect everything, all the plastic troops that I can get my hands on. And so I ended up getting a ton of stuff. And I've now painted it all and based it all.
Brilliant, mate.
About 12,000 miniatures.
Wow.
I mean, okay, I bear in mind that a lot of them are Space Marines, so they're like a single colour. Use contrast paints. Contrast paints are the best.
Yeah, for
absolutely
sure.
love contrast paints. So a lot of the time it's a single colour, a contrast paint colour over white. They look amazing, and then you base them up nicely, and they just look fabulous. I mean, the metal stuff costs an absolute fortune, but the plastics, well, it's not so much now, but when I was collecting it, I picked up a load of stuff, actually quite reasonable prices. But I mean, if you go on eBay now, there's nowhere near as much stuff as there was for sale for stuff like that. But I know, probably because I bought it all.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah.
But I know it's been great because actually put together proper fully painted armies, and my philosophy for how they were painted was very much one of, I want this stuff to look like proper, like want these models to look like these look like proper armies. None of this red tanks nonsense. I mean, I've got photographs because for years back, I put together a big Ultramarines and a big Blood Angels army, and great. But it's like I looked at them and I thought this looks weird to me. Why would they be going? Why have we got red tanks? Why have we got blue tanks? So now, I think the main color I used for almost everything was Agaros Dunes. So it's that kind of khaki color,
right?
Which looks like proper military color. Tanks look amazing in those colors. The Land Raiders, and so do the Space Marines. They're absolutely stunning in those colours. And of course, I can use the same colours to paint the Eldar. And I paint the helmets blue, so they're Iandan.
Yep.
So they look terrific. The Orcs are kept in black.
Right.
And what I did with the Orcs is that everything's in black. They're all black, all of them. All the clans are black.
Yeah.
But the shoulder pads are in the colours. So, red for Evil Suns and... blue for the
Death Skulls and
the Death Skulls and all that kind of, that kind of thing.
Mm.
And they look great.
Oh, that's good, mate.
I love doing that. And then I did a ton of Chaos stuff.
Oh, I love Chaos, mate. Love
Chaos. Oh, Chaos, awesome.
Yeah.
Really beautiful models, really nice. And there's a lot of proxy stuff now that Onslaught and Vanguard miniatures do, which are really nice metal models.
Yeah.
I won't touch resin. I've never gotten on with resin.
Me too. Yeah.
Not a fan.
No.
Metal or plastic.
Yeah.
Or that's it. I won't work with anything else. Because you can't strip it. You can't if I buy models, a lot of the time it's got paint on. I'll use Dettol to strip all the paint off before I repaint it. I mean, Jules is coming. You've been stripping again, haven't you? You've been stripping models again. All I can smell is Dettol in here. And he's like, sorry. He said, well, there's worse things I could smell. So it's. I'm just loving it. It was like, it's been a great project, something like that. I'd really love to put together. It's
that's wonderful.
I sold my Orc army. Over the years, I think I've collected about four or five different Orc armies, and they've all gone.
Right.
And my latest and my last one, because I never played with it. So the one sad thing about doing all the battle reports and things like that that I did when I was like in White Dwarf, that it made me quite cagey about who I played against, because I used to have to play games against people I had no gaming relationship with.
Right.
I've always seemed I mean, this would be interesting for people to hear me talk about. But I've always believed that you if you game with people and you're in a club or just mates that come around and game once a week, you don't know how good you've got it.
Mm.
That's gold.
Yeah.
Because you're playing people on a regular basis.
Mm.
You learn the rules together, you figure out the rules together.
Mm.
You play your version of the rules, actually, is what you really do.
Yeah.
And you have a great time.
Yeah.
But when I was in White Dwarf and I was doing these battle reports, I'd be gaming against people who, no idea, never played them any other time, probably wouldn't want to play with them any other time.
Right, okay.
Like nice people, really, in some ways.
All right.
But I mean, so a lot of them were great, but a lot of them weren't.
Right. Did you ever get to play against Andy Chambers at all in an epic game?
Oh well, I'll well, an Epic game.
Yeah, in
I never
Epic or 40, was
no,
it?
I never got a chance to play. I played against Gav Thorpe a lot. We
Right.
did a lot, and I Gav was great.
Right.
Loved playing. Shout out, Gav, you're wonderful. I loved gaming against Gav. He was great. When he
Nice.
wasn't, when he first joined, he did a lot. Interesting on the subject of Andy Chambers. I had a lot of admiration for Andy. So I think present tense. I think Andy's a great guy, and I love the keeping track of what he's been doing, listening to podcasts and things like that about what he's been up to and stuff. Nothing but admiration. Great guy. Worked really hard in the industry and has done some great stuff. Good on you, mate. Good on you. I had an opportunity to do, this is the best, this is the most fun battle report I did. I absolutely, I'll tell you about this one. This was
Nice.
really, really fun. He, I, and Alex Boyd did a battle report where it was a three-way between the three of us, and we were like playing. When we were like playing against each other, three war bosses battling it out, see who was the best one. It was terrific, great fun, and I won it on a dice roll.
Even better, mate.
But it could have gone the other way, and that was the thing with it. Absolute respect to the other guys. At the end of the day. That could that I won it on a dice roll. It didn't have to go that way, and they were great. They're great players, and I loved playing them and admired them. And I thought, and the funny thing that happened is after that was a battle report that ended up in White Dwarf. After we did that, three of the other guys who Imperial guys in the studio said, "How about you three? Fight us, you as war bosses on one side of the board, and us as Imperial commanders on the other. Why don't we play a massive game?" And thought, yeah, that sounds great. Now there's an orcs a thing that orcs talk about. This thing that orcs talk about, which is that humans are funny because they're always fighting amongst themselves. And always squabbling and fighting amongst themselves and saying that I know something you don't, so you need to listen to me, all this kind of thing. And what they say is that, and while the humans are arguing amongst themselves, the orcs come up and beat them up. It's a beautiful little kind of quotey kind of story thing that's it, that I don't know if it turns up in the army books now, but I always think it's a brilliant description. Because what I see, I've always as I've talked about this in interviews and what a while back now, but my viewpoint on orcs is quite different from how other people view orcs. I see orcs as an absolute robust society that will absolutely win. They are going to win. Well, I mean, actually, chaos will win. War that you know. The Warhammer unit, the Warhammer 40,000 universe will fall to chaos eventually. It's too powerful. So that's it. It's the long defeat. And I very much see orcs as being part of that. And I see them as being an absolute robust society with a technology and a grasp of technology. The humans talk about orc technologies that they have these guns. We can't get it to fire, but if an orc picks up, he can get it to fire. There must be something magical about that. They talk a little bit about it. And actually, the reason an orc's gun fires is because mechanically it works. Your stuff, the human stuff, everything that's based off STD, STCs and all this stuff. They're like they're having to pray over the weapons before they can fire them. There's the human stuff's magic in their minds. That it,
yes,
you know,
that's
it only
right.
works because it only works because they're the ones that the weapons work because they believe they work. But they say it's the orcs, and it's not. And actually, no, the orcs. If you look at like a the truck model, that truck model, it's got blasted suspension. That model's a proper truck. That thing could drive. And it's the same. And you look at mega armor. There's pistons. You look at anything that the orcs make. You look at it and you go, it's got an engine and a pulley bit and a thing, and you do this. This works. An engineering mind created this. Totally legitimate, absolutely powerful society. The only thing that lets them down is they end up fighting each other all the time.
Yeah, that's it.
Because they're trying to figure out who's the... And that's probably the only... They reckon it's the only reason why they haven't taken over. It's about right.
Yeah.
Because they're so busy fighting amongst themselves.
Mm.
But I always see the orcs as being just such a legitimately powerful thing. I, a lot of people, there was a time when the orcs were a bit of a joke, and I think, not jokes,
not
mate.
Really. Nah. Just
Very
play them in
much.
Epic. You'll know all about it if you play them in Epic, how bad they are.
Oh, God, well,
seems like,
see,
how
I
powerful.
never have. I want to do it.
Yeah.
I look, reading the rules about and how they work and how you can add cards to to actually make those formations bigger and more powerful. The idea that you can add, if you have a clan of orcs, and if you add bikes, a bike adds +3 to their breakpoint.
Breakpoint, yeah, that's right.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That makes them insanely powerful.
Yeah.
Whereas if you had boys, they might add a couple of points. And you had them bikes, and they had 3. It's like for the same price.
Yeah.
So you're gonna add bikes, and you're gonna add bikes and tractor cannons, and because that's what they do. Oh gosh. Anyway, so getting back to the story. So this whole idea is that Alex, Andy, and I. We're going to face up against these Imperial commanders.
Yeah,
this will be fun. So if you looked at the orc side, of the board, it was like, it was literally like, you know, Andy had come up to me and said, "Yeah, Andy, I'm thinking of going around the side here. Is that all right for you? That'll work for you? You're just going to go up there?" So yeah, it'll be fine, mate. You do that, Andy. So we were in total cooperation with each other. You know, all right, we know what we're going to do. Imperial side couldn't stop fighting amongst themselves. Couldn't believe it. They were like, you know, oh, I want to do this. No, you don't want to do that. He said, no, no, no. And in the meantime, we're getting closer and closer and closer and closer to them. So you can imagine where that went. It's orcs in close combat. Oh dear, your army's dead. Yes, you were laughing. Ah, ha, ha. You're shooting holes in us as we dash across the table towards you. Yes, that's another 10 gone. Yeah, we know. Oh, they're still around. Yeah. Oh, they're getting closer and they're getting closer. Oh dear. And now they're in close combat. Yeah. Oh, your army's dead. Or at least that's how it used to work when I fought.
Nice, mate. Was it now the Imperial side? Was it made up of like White Dwarf team members, or can you remember?
They were just guys who were. I mean, it never got put in a magazine or anything like that. Which is a pity because I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah,
and it was great because it meant, you know, I was playing with Alex and playing with Andy, and we were having a great time and mutual respect for each other, and it was all cool. Whereas these Imperial guys were just like, couldn't believe it. I was just like, well, what are you doing? You should be concentrating on blowing holes in this in the orcs that are heading towards. Because if you don't, you're going to be in big trouble. We get in close combat with you. It's not going to be pretty. Which, of course, he wasn't. Oh, gosh. It's absolutely mental. It really was. But that was nice. That was, I'd say, that was my favorite little things that happened when I was gaming in the studio. And that was with Andy. Andy's great. Really, 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 really great bloke. Is there anything you want to
Well, I was going to ask you.
ask me?
Yes, I was going to ask you a couple of questions, mate. About what's the sort of the what was the first miniature you bought for was it actual Space Hulk? Were they the first miniatures you came in contact with Games Workshop, or was it something else?
Well, I mean,
Was it HeroQuest or something?
when I'd originally got the Dungeons and Dragons game, I bought Citadel miniatures because Games Workshop was based in, it was the Games Workshop like store was originally based in, it was Newark, I think. Yeah, in fact, it was Newark, I think. And that was my grandma lived in Newark, so I once went over there with my mum, and I said, "Well, could we drop in?" So I went there, and I bought some miniatures off the rails in the Games Workshop Citadel miniatures. I bought some of them off the rails. I think it was some Ralph Arthur ones as well. And I bought some of those in a Games Workshop. I can't remember how old it was maybe 14 or 15. I bought those. I think I've still got one knocking around.
That's great, mate. Excellent.
It was
Short boat.
a floor trap.
A
One of
floor.
these creatures it's like a big mouth that you walk into and you get eaten, and it's for D&D and stuff like that. So that was those were the so I did those, and then later on when I was doing the kind of the Warhammer Quest stuff, I had the Skaven miniature, and that was my proper, I think it was my like proper modern Citadel miniature that I'm sure you can get him on eBay somewhere. I said very specific because he had horns on his head, and he was holding a flint, like a warlock pistol. So he was obviously I think he was some kind of a priest or something like that.
Or something. Was he
So
pointing at
he was he.
was he point was he point as like outstretched finger
Yeah,
point?
I think so.
Okay,
Yeah.
I've got this guy right here. I've got that guy right here.
Oh, really? Oh, fantastic. And he was great. He kind of summed my character up really, really perfectly as I told him. Got him. So we got it. But then after that, it was very much Space Hulk led, and it was a lot of Terminators. Got a lot of the Metal Terminators. Wonderful. And because we were so like in love with Games Workshop stuff, we were like, we just got, we had Space Marines in power armor going down the Hulk. We had orcs in there. We had absolute squigs, absolutely anything. We loved the miniatures, and we just got everything. Really did. Just ton of it. Don't have any of it left.
Yeah, that's a
So
shame.
looking back, you kind of go, oh, how can I let that stuff disappear out of my life?
Yeah, but you're not alone there, actually, don't think, Adrian, because I think most of us did the same, mate. But now you talked about collecting a lot of the Epic Space Marine over COVID and that kind of thing. Are you actually actively playing that with your friends at all now?
I haven't gamed for a long time. I've been so busy, caught up trying to make the it, working with on the business and stuff. I haven't. It would be really nice. I mean, actually, this might sound a little bit ridiculous, but actually, talking about what I've been talking about today has been quite cathartic. It's been quite nice to actually talk about my time at Games Workshop and some of the stuff. I mean, bear in mind that this is like tip of the iceberg. of stuff. And what I was saying about the one thing about doing all the battle reports is it made me very cagey about who I played against. So I usually what I would usually end up happening is I would usually find like a couple of people who I would play regularly, who I would trust to play regularly again, who I had the right attitude, I saw the right attitude to gaming, which was this isn't about winning. This is about like playing a game, hanging out with your mates and having a great time. And so because like I said, I think if you have a club where you can do that, if you have like any group of friends where you can actually get together and do so, it's don't take it for granted. Yeah, I don't want to sound like patronizing or like an old
Yeah, I know.
father, but don't. It really is a wonderful thing, a great thing to have in your life, to have that kind of thing, to have mates who, they'll come in with the latest model and you try your best to destroy it on the first turn and all this kind of thing. And all that kind of stuff, and I mean, all joking aside, it's like I think, and part of me kind of now kind of thinks to myself, I really ought, because there's stuff going on in Leicester I could probably go and get involved in. And in a way, I feel like I've probably got enough distance from it all to kind of be able to go, well, maybe get out there and once a month or something like that and go out and do some gaming again, think about doing it again. And certainly the epic stuff. I mean that might be quite tough, but I mean I've even got plans to come up with a solo rule set for epic, so I could actually play, just play against myself, if I can't find anybody. I mean, the only thing is, if I was going to go out and play again, I'd have to 28 mil scale. I'd have to create some models to do it because I haven't got any. Yeah, because they're all gone. I have thought about if I was going to collect an army now, I would probably collect, a Khorne army,
All right.
Khorne Demon army, because you can use that army in any scenario. You can use it in 40K, you can use it in Warhammer, you can use it in any of the other games that you do. I mean, you could even drop them in movement trays. I'm sure no one's going to quibble over the fact they're on round bases in a movement tray. They could have a go. I don't think they get very far with it.
Not
It's
against
a
the warlord, that's for sure.
get stuffed, get a grip, get a grip. You're talking to the Grand Warlord.
That's exactly right.
It's fine. They're in
Who are you
movement
talking
trays.
to?
It's in.
You dick to
It's
me?
fine. Yeah, it's fine. It really is fine. And certainly there's a one of those army collections you can get, and there is you spend about 100 quid and you get all this these blood letters and crushers and all this stuff, and it's incredible value. I mean, you're buying the stuff you buy, you're basically it's worth twice what you pay for it. I mean, the thing with Games Workshop is just so expensive.
I know, that's right. Exactly.
It's
Exactly.
the what that it, and it's always been the same. I mean, when I worked for them, you could get stuff, you got stuff half price if you worked for the company, which is brilliant. I haven't got that now. So, if I do something like that, that's a real commitment to chuck down, like 100 quid to get one of these boxes. But on the other hand, it might be worthwhile doing it.
Mate, I
I'll
hope.
see.
Yeah, I hope so for you. But look, Adrian, look, it's been a massive interview today, and it's been wonderful to talk to you and well listen to you in your story and everything. I really appreciate that all the time you've given us today. It's been immense, mate. It's been massive. I think we can keep talking on and on, not especially about Epic.
I think we could.
We have to come back again at some point together and sort of meet up at a time and just talk about our love of Epic, mate. We both are massively passionate about it.
Yes.
And we both have
I think
a
so.
great history in playing Epic Space Marine, and we know how good it is. And yeah, we've only, like you said, we've only touched the tip of
Love
the
for spaceship.
iceberg, you know. So,
I think that's the funny part. I knew that people wanted to. I mean, I didn't know what people wanted at all. I just thought, look, the only thing because I've had to go back through my mind
yeah.
and and be selective because I didn't. I thought I want to be fairly. I want to be fairly positive, because actually working at Games Workshop has a massive impact on me and a massive impact on my life.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I don't want to just sit there and moan about all the bad bits. I
Yeah.
wish there were bad, because there's the bad bits when you work for any company. There just
That's right.
is,
That's right. That's
you
right.
know. But what I wanted to talk about was I wanted to talk about the, you know, and I haven't really talked and I haven't talked that much about those. I have to say, thank you very much. I really, when you initially asked me to do this, I really did balk at it, because I thought myself, I really did think to myself, is anyone going to be interested in this? And I hope they are. I hope people will get something out of it. But it's been good for me in a lot of ways, because, you know, I mean, I've not been, you know, I've been out of Games Workshop for 5 or 6 years now, and you work for a company for that long, it's like, you know, you've been in prison for that long, you know, it's that, you know, you become
Yeah,
institutionalized,
true. Yeah.
and actually you come out of something like that and being able to then kind of make some sense of it, and kind of look how it really, how stuff really applies to your life, and what you've gained from it, and the skills, you know, the skills that you've gained, going, kind of moving forward. I mean, it's great to have all that and be able to take all those skills and now apply it in a different way, and in the music career.
Yeah.
As you know, it's been, you know, I can't deny the impact the Games Workshop has had on my life. It's been absolutely amazing, let alone the impact of, I mean, the company itself, let alone the impact of the IP and the games and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, when you initially, I really didn't want to do it, but I'm really glad I did.
Oh, good, mate. That's excellent. Like you said, it's a bit cathartic for you talking about and bringing up
Well,
the
I think so. I
experience and
think
stuff like
it
that as
has
well.
been. I think
Yeah.
it's been quite important for me to do so. Thank you very much for the
No, mate.
opportunity.
Anytime. Anytime. So yeah, like I said, we can definitely talk at length about Epic Space Marine. I think we should do that at some stage, or even have you on for one of our live shows on my channel, on my YouTube channel, so people can interact with you and the audience can, you know, ask you questions and that kind of thing. I think that'd be really fun too if you're up for that at some stage.
I think it would be. I think
Yeah,
it would be.
and
Yeah.
that's a 2-hour blockbuster, mate, or more. So you got plenty of time
Oh,
to talk to
sorry. Oh God,
you.
you should have rained. We should have done something. You said, "Shut up, you fool! Don't talk about that. No, don't talk. You'll destroy everyone's illusions. They'll all think it's."
It's like there's probably things that I can think about. Oh, that's right. I should ask Adrian about that. And so it's nice that you can come back. And I always like getting people back on the show because there's a lot of
Well,
unfinished, a lot of questions not asked, you know.
the thing is that you've, I mean, the thing is you haven't asked me any. I
No,
was half expecting a question, and I was kind of expecting some, but it's like, in
right.
the end, I've just kind of talked, you've just talked career, really. But if you want to ask me, and the thing is I'm happy to, I'm actually happy to talk. I mean, I love to talk about like converting and painting. Those subjects to me are absolutely legitimate. You know, it's like, and for people who do the stuff that we do within the hobby of Games Workshop, to actually be able to talk about those aspects,
Yeah.
because they are important, and people want to know the best ways to paint stuff and how to convert and all this kind of stuff. And I love that kind of thing, let alone the gaming and collecting an army and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, great,
Well, how about
great.
this as a concept? I'm going to post up a poll on my YouTube channel and through my patrons or whatever, and say you choose your most favorite Adrian Wood article in the White Dwarf magazine, and they'll have a vote. I'll take those and I'll show them to you in advance. We'll put them on the live show, and then you can talk about it. You can say anything you like. They'll have questions, obviously, about the article or something like that, but you can talk about your conversions or the battle that you fought, or the thought process behind this scenario or this article you wrote or something like that. It'd be really nice for people to engage with you after all these years that you've been out of Games Workshop. But just to talk about that, I think it'd be really nice for you and for the listeners as well. So we'll definitely have to come back and do that at some point in the near future, mate.
I well, if they are interested, I'm happy to talk.
Awesome. Okay, mate. Well, thank you so much again. I don't want to take up any more of your time with your wonderful morning.
It's been
And
an absolute pleasure. I've had a great time.
I've been very honored, sir. Thank you so much for your time, mate, honestly, and for your
No, thank you very much. I'll see you soon.
Absolutely, mate. Take care. Okay. And all the best with the music industry business with your new one.
Thanks very much.
Okay,
Right.
mate. All right.
See you later.
See you, mate. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.